A man of great wisdom once said, "Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord." It's found in Proverbs chapter 22. And for the next few minutes, I want you to consider some thoughts that I want to share with you, primarily from the book of Proverbs. And these are thoughts that we can relate to, that we've experienced. It's ironic that I chose this topic, interaction with others, because if you know me very well, or if you know my background, you know I've never been really comfortable with large crowds, especially being in front of them. Kind of got an introverted personality, and so I'm just kind of comfortable being one of those guys that's in the background and not really in front of people. So I've had to push myself and work to try to overcome this weakness that's naturally with me. And so I'm going to talk about this topic. Stephen, in just a few minutes, is going to share with us some info on a common religious topic that we face as we interact with others. So for some of us, you know, this challenge of having people skills is really great. You know, one might be recognized as having a good foundation of the truth, maybe a sound, maybe a good biblical knowledge, but, you know, just struggle with the limitations in having to interact with others. How many times have we heard someone say, "Well, that's just the way that I am," or "That's just the way, you know, that he or she is. I'm just kind of set in my ways." It's understandable that we all have our weaknesses. We all have things that we can improve upon. And I want us to examine ourselves just for the next few minutes and hopefully learn something or think about something that will make the necessary improvements. It's easy for us to look around and say, "Yeah, well, he or she, you know, brother, sister, so-and-so, they've got these things that they need to work on," but it's another thing to look within ourselves and do what we need to do to be better Christians. So with that, if you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you're an employee, you're a student, you're a Christian or a non-Christian, if you're someone else, then I'm not sure, I think I've covered just about everyone. I've got something for you to consider about what matters. And first of all, families matter. As I get older, and as we all get older, we realize that this life is much too short here on this earth. Our eternal existence is greatly influenced by what we do while we're here on this in this short life. I also understand that it's not the years in your life that count, but rather the life in your years. How important then is it if you're 10, if you're 80, that we not waste our time making foolish, quick, rash decisions? These not only jeopardize our eternal existence, but it can also make our life here on this earth somewhat of a misery. So with our families, first of all, it's a fact that we must provide for our families. We find in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, "If one does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and worse than unbelievers." So we have to be productive in this life to provide for our families. Also, we're responsible as parents to provide a fear or respect for the Lord and to give our children a loving environment and a peaceful environment. Sometimes we kind of overlook this, but along with our responsibilities as parents, it's the proper use of discipline. And there's some inspired wisdom that we find in the Proverbs regarding discipline. You know, frankly, there are times when a youngster can be straightened out by bending him over your knee. The problem with discipline in the home would seem that it doesn't require much to become a parent, and too many parents don't really understand the responsibility. I'm going to talk mainly about corporal punishment here, but if spanking, for example, is used properly, it's a demonstration of love. In Proverbs chapter 13, and by the way, we're going to be in Proverbs quite a bit, so if I'll have most of the passages we're going to reference, but you might want to open your book up to the to uh, to the book of Proverbs. But in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. And this is to remove the foolishness from the child and to save the soul of the child. You can see the importance that's emphasized. Check out this next verse in chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. So obviously there needs to be the proper application of this punishment, certainly before a situation gets out of hand. Consistently, we've all heard in public a parent say, if you do that one more time, I'm going to do such and such, or I'm going to spank you. And the child ends up rebelling and nothing happens, right? So the child wins and continues the rebellion. The parents need to be controlled under these circumstances. There's a difference, obviously, between spanking and child abuse. I want to make that clear. It also applies to our assemblies as well. You know, we need to discipline, we need to train our children to be able to understand that this is a place of reverence, this is a place where we need to sit still and we need to pay attention to what's going on. You know, we've been blessed with our children, and as many of you know, Blair's graduating, and he was one of the first babies, now 17 years ago, that was in this facility. And so we've been reflecting on some of those things, and when we were talking, I was talking to him here lately about, hey, do you remember me having to take you out? And he said, yeah, I sure do. And he respected that and appreciated that. It wasn't like it was an ongoing weekly thing, but there were a few times where we went out. And when we went out, it wasn't a good experience. We made it unenjoyable. And I think that's something that we have a responsibility to do. And the funny thing is, I don't remember taking Molly out. So we kind of give the boys a hard time. And I'm sure we did, and not always to spank, but you get what I'm saying. Well, what about grandparents? I said I was going to have something for grandparents. There's inspired wisdom from grandparents. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6, it likely expresses the view that's held by most grandparents. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. We've all heard grandparents say, if I had known my grandchildren were going to be this much fun, I would have had them first, right? And then Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Typically, we think about physical inheritance, but I want you to think about spiritual inheritance for our grandchildren. What are some possible suggestions? What about memories of a godly grandmother or grandfather? What about their attendance at church services and their involvement in the church? What about wisdom from life experiences of biblical examples? And then, of course, memories of love. And I can think, you know, I think back to my childhood. I think about my grandparents who I loved and respected very much and who loved me. And I think about those things. We celebrated one of my grandmother's 97th birthday yesterday, and she still pulls out those pictures of when I was a little fella, and you know, I can tell it still, you know, still means a lot to her when I was small. And those things mean a lot to us as grandchildren. So grandparents, spend time supporting your children, grandchildren, and the things that they are interested in, because families matter. Well, what about friends? Friends matter as well. We all have a place in our community, in our schools, in our society. We see the bad in society and people. We see the good in people. We certainly see this in the world, and we hate to see it in the church. But as Christians, it's important that our interaction with people be a positive and be conducted in wisdom. Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 4, verses 5 through 6. I'll read this. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So we have a responsibility on how we conduct ourselves with those outside. Selection of friends. The kind of people that you do not want as to be associated with are those that we find in the Proverbs, those that are gossips, those that are short-tempered, those that are drunkards and revelers, those that lack values. Liars, those that are inconsiderate, those that you can't trust, those are just plain violent and mean. Those are all things that we need to try to avoid lest we be caught up in those. The kind of friends that we do want to have, we want to be focused on those that are going to help us in the right way. And we tell our kids that all the time. We tell our kids that all the time. You need to associate and have the kind of friends that are going to help you do the right thing instead of hanging with the wrong crowd. Well, Solomon also gave some advice on maintaining these friendships. And I want to tell you about 10 thou shalt nots to kind of make this a little bit more of an impact. First of all, these are things to avoid. These things can lead to problems with friends. First of all, we find in Proverbs 17, verse 9, don't repeat everything you hear. The fact that silence is golden may explain why there's so little of that. Don't argue. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Don't think about this too much, but don't overstay your welcome. It's found in Proverbs 25, verse 17. Let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, or he will become weary of you and hate you. Years ago in the South, maybe it's still like this in some places, there was, you know, neighbors visited neighbors a lot more often. People would go over to others' houses. And, you know, when you got ready to leave, you would hear someone, tell them goodbye and say, well, y'all just come on, go with us, right? Well, I heard of a family one time that took that pretty literally, and they would actually get their things and want to go home with them. And so, and actually take an extended visit. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17, don't meddle in others' affairs. Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. If you have a dog and you grab him by the ears, you'll know what I'm talking about, what the proverb writer has to say there. Don't play bad jokes. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? Don't be a talebearer. Don't repeat everything that you hear. Make sure that the facts are straight before you start drawing conclusions. This is a big one. One of my big pet peeves, I guess, is don't back out of commitment. Do what you say and say what you do. Not like Mark Twain advised us. He said, a broken promise is better than no promise. I actually prefer what the proverb writer tells us in chapter 25, I believe. Unfulfilled promises are like clouds and like the wind without rain. This is a general application that can apply not just to our friends, but in business as well. Once, here recently, I had a business agreement. I was volunteering for a committee. And so I had an agreement with someone that was a Christian. And I had been warned, or I had heard some things, but that kind of cautioned me about getting involved with this arrangement. But to make a long story short, I had no other choice. We were kind of forced to use this particular guy. And sure enough, several weeks into the project, he informed someone else to tell me that he couldn't do the work or he couldn't get the job done. And that kind of left us in a pretty bad situation. You know, what are we thinking, you know, brethren, when we make a commitment and do something? And I know there's circumstances that, you know, that you can't help sometimes, but you know, if I've got a job to do, I'm going to work nights, weekends, whatever, to fulfill that commitment for what I've signed up to do. Do we care about our reputation? Do we care what the world, what our brethren think about us? Don't engage in insincere flattery. Be genuine, not fake. Don't respond quickly. He who gives an answer before he hears, it's a folly and shame to him. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. And then last, number 10, don't forget to show love. If you do a favor, forget it. If you receive a favor, remember it. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, a man who has a friend must himself be friendly. How do we treat our friends? The people around us here are our best friends. You, our brethren, are friends. One extreme perception that we have in the church sometimes is that we're all perfect, right? Some think, well, if you go to church, then you must be, you know, you must have it all going. Well, it's a good start, but there's a saying, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. We all have our challenges, we all have our weaknesses, we all have our temptations, and it is a good start, church attendance. But the Lord remembers that the Lord likens some as hypocrites and those that may struggle with being the kind of Christian that they should be. It's all kind of a work in progress for us. There's another false perception of those in the church, especially from those that maybe are weak, those that have fallen away. They'll pick somebody out and they'll say, well, I'm just as good as so-and-so, right? And I just want to think, if we're all trying to get to heaven, we're all trying to work together to help each other get to heaven, why should that be our mindset? How can we think like that? There's a saying, fault finders are all alike. They demand very much in others, but they're satisfied with very little with themselves. Are we the kind of person that wants to jump to conclusions, criticize someone for what they do and what they don't do, and we don't examine ourselves? When I was studying this topic, I found 366 uses of the word judgment in the New King James Version. And most of the time, it's not you or I doing the judging, it's God that does the judging. I understand there's righteous judgment. I also understand there's too much judgment that's thrown under the umbrella of righteous judgment. Brethren, we settle for less than our calling when we are not conformed to the image of His Son that we find in Romans 8, verses 29, particularly in the matter of how we deal with one another. Here's some passages for your consideration. Philippians 2, verse 3, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. In James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? If I'm guilty of this, brethren, it's a serious thing. And we can't overlook some passages and take some that are more important than others. We should be merciful, we should be tender, we should be helpful, we should be caring to one another. In passage in Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So much joy comes from our life and our relationships with our brothers and sisters in the faith. It's important to apply the wisdom that God has given us in His Word to ensure that we enjoy the blessings of this good life and our good friends, so we can look forward to being together with one another in life eternal. Otherwise, we just kind of go through life with a trial and error, trying to figure out, through the hard knocks on how to deal with one another. This time last week, Scott Tope reminded us that we all can be a Dorcas, we all can be a Gaius, we all can be a Barnabas in looking for opportunities to make a difference in this dying world. Brethren, friends matter. So many times, this lesson's kind of focused on evangelism, and that's very important, but we never should forget that we have to present ourselves, we have to apply ourselves, we have to develop ourselves so that we are able to evangelize those around us, like a Christian should. Do I have the respect from our friends, my neighbors, from my brethren, so that they want to hear the things that I have to say? So then, the question is, what matters? Certainly our relationship with God and Jesus Christ ultimately matters, but that also includes others, our family, our society, brethren, and strangers. Remember the greatest command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So it all matters. We can't pick and choose what we want to do. We've all heard, leave this expression with you, we've all heard the saying that dog is a man's best friend. And if you go to my house and our dogs, they're our best friends. You would not believe how happy they are when we come home after being gone for a few hours. You would think we've been gone for a month. They're so happy to see us. They think we're the greatest things. Well, our goal, think about this, our goal should be to be as good a person as your dog thinks you are. In James chapter 3, in all seriousness now, James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Let's read this carefully together, and this will end my comments. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Thank you very much.